Welcome back to another episode of Peaceful Homebirth. Have you ever wondered what questions to ask during a homebirth midwife interview? Well, today I'm going to be giving you some questions that aren't so typical, but give you a big clue into how this midwife you're interviewing approaches birth. Just because you choose a home birth doesn't mean you're exempt from unnecessary interventions and interference. So stick around for this important topic. I'll also have a freebie for you at the end of the show. Also, before we get into the questions, Home Birth Hub starts this Friday, the 19th. There is still time to sign up and be a part of the new home birth community that will support you, help you prepare for home birth, and keep you pointed towards Jesus. Are you a first-time home birth mom wanting to know how to prepare your mind, body, and spirit for birth? Are you lacking support from everyone around you? Do you want to know the ins and outs of your options and how to create an atmosphere conducive to how God designed birth to happen? If so, then you have to get in the Home Birth Hub today. Don't wait, because after this round, the price will go up. And as a founding member, you get the benefit of being in a group setting with me, acting as your coach for the next 8 weeks on Zoom. This will then be turned into a self-paced course, so this opportunity is never going to happen again at this price. Check out the description below for the link straight to the payment page. And if you have any questions, please message me on Facebook or email me at peacefulhomebirthpodcast@gmail.com. Welcome to the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, where your journey to a joyful and empowered birth experience begins. I'm your host, Allie McLean, a registered nurse, home birth coach, devoted wife, and proud mother to four incredible kiddos. I've walked the path from trauma to triumph, and I'm here to guide you every step of the way. At the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast, we're more than just a show. We're a community of dreamers, believers, and fearless mothers to be. If you're seeking to reclaim your birth story, to transform fear into confidence, and to embrace the beauty of home birth, you've found your tribe. My own transformative journey began with a traumatic C-section, propelling me on a quest to uncover the power of home birth. And now I'm on a mission to help you rise above your past, prevent needless C-sections, and stand firmly in the certainty of your dream birth. As a devoted follower of Jesus, I believe that his divine design for birth is inherently good. It is a reflection of his love, strength, and grace. If the dream of home birth has been planted on your heart, know that it's there for a purpose, and I'm here to stand with you as you pursue it wholeheartedly. In a world filled with racing thoughts and doubts, I'm your guide to taking those thoughts captive, making them obedient to Christ, and replacing them with the liberating truth. Together, we'll navigate the challenges that lie ahead, finding not only freedom, but also unbridled joy on your path to motherhood. This podcast is a haven for the woman who has faced the darkness of a traumatic birth and has questioned whether home birth is within her reach. Here we shatter those doubts. Join us for illuminating interviews with remarkable birth workers who share our reverence for the sanctity and splendor of birth. Listen to inspiring women as they recount their triumphant birth stories, each a testament to the strength that resides within you. So whether you're just starting to explore the world of home birth or you're already on this radiant journey, the Peaceful Home Birth Podcast is your sanctuary, your wellspring of knowledge, and your unwavering support system. Get ready to be inspired, to be empowered, and to embark on a path that leads you to the birth you've always dreamed of. It's time to experience the Holy Spirit's power, to embrace the beauty of birth, and to create a legacy of love and strength. Are you ready to transform your birth experience? Let's dive in. All right, well, I'm really excited to get into today's episode because it is so important. I think a lot of women believe if I choose home birth, that guarantees that there won't be any interference and I'm just going to have this most beautiful birth. But unfortunately, after being in the birth space for quite a while, talking to so many women, working with women who desire to have a peaceful home birth, one of the biggest problems I see is women hiring midwives that don't support their dreams and their visions. And it's really
a travesty because you feel trapped when you hire somebody and when you find out that they're not actually matching up with what you desire, it can be really, really difficult to change directions. So I want to help you today hire the perfect midwife for you. How does that sound? So I'm going to give you a little bit of background on the different types of midwives and what they could each bring to the table, as well as why it's important to interview, and then give you some red flags before I give you the questions to ask. Okay, are you ready for this? Well, first off, there are different types of midwives. And according to the American College of Nurse Midwives, the number of midwife-attended births in the United States has more than doubled since 1991. And I looked on the CDC today. I found that there was a 12% increase in home births from 2020 to 2021, which follows a 22% increase from 2019 to 2020. That means in 2021, there was about 51,642 home births, and it is growing exponentially. So I don't have the stat for 2023 yet, but I guarantee it is larger than 51,000, and that is so exciting. So let's break down the different types of midwives. The first one is a CNM, which is a certified nurse midwife. These are women who have a deep desire to serve people, help people, and they became a nurse, right? And then they decided to get their master's, which was accredited by the Commission for Midwifery Education. They passed a national certified nurse midwife exam, and then they got their certification through the American Midwifery Certification Board. So there was a long process, a lot of training. It is very much a more medically minded since they go through nursing school and then through a nursing-backed midwifery education. So they're going to have a little bit more background of Western medicine, right? Again, I want you to hear this. Not all midwives are the same. Even if they have credentials, it is still very, very important to interview them. This is just helpful because you can start getting an idea of what their philosophy around birth could be, what their background is, how they see the body, who they answer to. All of these things are very, very important. Now, the next one is a certified professional midwife or CPM. And this credential is available through the North American Registration of Midwives or NARM. As of 2021, 31 states had some kind of legal recognition for CPMs, which is like either licensure, certification, registration, permit, or voluntary registration. And most offered the licensure based on the CPM certification. So this is becoming more and more popular. These are women who did not go the nursing route, they just entered in through NARM and through their credentials and their training. So they don't, most of them are not going to have a medical, like a Western medical background, although some of them do. The last one is a traditionally trained or a direct entry midwife. And these are women who decided to apprentice. So they find a woman who has been serving women for many, many years, and they take her under her wing and they attend births together. And that's how she learns. It's a lot of self-study, is a lot of just attending births with somebody who has been there before. And they don't go through licensing. They don't provide medical care. Birth is not a medical event. So they just attend births. They just are. They walk alongside women in not the medical necessarily capacity, although some do carry oxygen, but they use a lot of herbal medicine and what we would call like older medicine. So those are kind of the types of midwives you will interact with when you're interviewing. Now let's talk about that interview process, right? If you've birthed at a hospital before, most of you know that you just get a recommendation from your sister or friend or mother and about doctors that they've, know of or have had, and you just call them and you go with them. It's not very often that people are interviewing OBs, although it does happen sometimes. When it comes to a midwife attending you at home, it is very important. And I think part of the reason is women who choose home birth, they have a idea in mind about what they want their birth to be like, how they want to feel. They want to be the ones in control most often, right? And they want somebody just there to witness. They want somebody there just in case, right? So everybody is going to connect differently, and that connection is so important. So I always suggest that you interview as many midwives as you feel necessary. There is nothing wrong with a consult. In fact, I think it gives you a great idea of the differences between the midwives. You can see who you connect with or if you click with anybody, right? I just want you to avoid hiring somebody just because they know a lot. That is not the ideal for hiring a midwife. Just because they know a lot or have attended a lot of births, that is lower on my standard for good midwife than if we can have a good trusting relationship and if we can get along really well. I believe that this sister slash wise woman connection is such an integral part in inviting somebody into your birth space, right? Not somebody in authority over you, but somebody who can walk alongside you as a guide. And that, takes me to how midwives really aren't all created equal, right? Just going back to the licensure, even, not all certified nurse midwives are the same. Not all CPMs are the same. Not all direct entry midwives are the same. It's up to you to be discerning. It's up to you to ask good questions. And it's up to you to listen to your intuition and make sure that this is the person that you feel the most comfortable with inviting into your space. Just because they attend at home, it doesn't mean they're gonna approach birth the same way, right? Just because they support home birth doesn't mean they'll support you well. So this interview is very, very important. Now let's get into some red flags. It was fun. I asked my Facebook group, which you can find at facebook.com/groups/peacefulhomebirth. If you're not in there yet, please go in there. I ask some really great questions. We have an amazing community, but I asked in there, and these are some things that they brought up, which I found so, just so, so good. So I want to share those with you. Okay, and now it's time to share one of my sponsors with you. After my first birth, which ended in a traumatic C-section, I started researching literally everything, including things that go in and on me and my family's body. I started getting rid of everything, first starting with cleaning products and then over-the-counter meds. But makeup has been the hardest thing for me to replace. It seems as all the natural makeup is in powder form, and with the type of covers that I like, it just was not cutting it. That's when I found Araza Beauty's all-in-one coconut cream foundation. This foundation actually improves my skin while providing sun protection and, of course, even coverage. With a dewy finish, almost like a BB cream, it's perfect for everyday wear. Plus, it's packed with ingredients like jojoba oil, probiotics, antioxidants, and zinc oxide, which provides SPF 28 coverage. I also love that Araza Beauty is a woman-owned and dedicated to giving back to victims of domestic violence. I feel great about supporting this company, which makes its super luxurious makeup even more satisfying. Now, I recommend with starting with the foundation. See what I did there, foundation? You won't regret it. Just to make it easier for you, Araza is giving my listeners a special discount of 15% off. So go to arazabeauty.com and use the code EMPOWEREDBIRTH at checkout. Number one, a lack of respect for your autonomy, right? Remembering that you are the one giving birth, You are the one that is going to remember this birth for the rest of your life. She may attend many women, and she is not going to remember your birth as well as you will, right? This is very important. And what you say goes. You have full authority, full responsibility over the decisions you make, over the outcomes, right? Her training should never overrule your decision making, right? If she's putting her license, her protocol, her preferences above you and your desires, I would say that is a major, major red flag, right? Anytime she's putting stipulations on when she can serve you, for example, oh, she doesn't attend VBAC, or she cannot attend you after 42 weeks, or she requires some testing to support you, that would be a red flag. Okay. She's putting her license over you, right? And that's up to her. I am no shade on her. I'm just saying that this should clue you in. Now, if you're okay with hiring a midwife who says, you know what, when you hit 42 weeks, you're going to have to transfer to the hospital, you know that. Now you know what questions to ask, who you're comfortable with. Again, the midwife that is right for me may not be right for you. What I want you to know, though, is number one, if she disrespects your autonomy and she diminishes your preferences over her license, that would be a little bit concerning to me and it would be a red flag. Number two, she doesn't trust your intuition. Okay, so this could again look like there's protocols she just has to follow, there's routines, routine testing, routine stipulations that she follows. Even if you are feeling completely fine and, you know, happy and carefree and you don't have a care in the world, you're feeling great, and yet she's starting to tell you there's something wrong. And your intuition is saying, no, that doesn't seem right. I feel fine, but she's being pushy and she's trusting her own intuition over yours. I would definitely be questioning that. Or maybe she's over suggesting things. Okay. This again could look like testing, but in labor even, or as it gets close to labor, maybe you should try castor oil. Maybe you should try this. Maybe, you know, if you're not asking for advice or help and she's just throwing suggestions at you, I would say that's kind of telling you that your intuition isn't on, that you need to be doing something in order for this whole thing to work out. If she has a hard time sitting still and just letting you be, right? So if a prenatal visit looks so busy, so regimented, so focused on one thing, and she is very, yeah, she sticks to her protocol, what makes you think that during labor, she's not going to do the same thing, right? If she's having a hard time sitting still during your prenatals, then she's going to be all up in your business. And maybe you want that. Honestly, for my first birth, I didn't mind. But also, there was a good balance, I feel like, for my first. So everybody is going to have to choose something different. You're going to have to know yourself, listen to your intuition. Again, these are just guidelines and some red flags that I've seen over the years. So take it as you will. Yeah, so she's quick to diagnose things. That, like, she's quick to diagnose, oh, you've had a high blood pressure read, so therefore you have preeclampsia, and we should just set you on a path to going to the hospital, getting all of these interventions, when it was one read, right? So not trusting your intuition, number two. Number three, you don't feel heard. This is a big one. Prenatals are quick, to the point. It's not focused on a relationship or building trust. Again, if she's at prenatals and she is rushed, she's quick, she's got stuff on her mind, she's distracted, who's to say she's not going to be rushed and distracted at your birth? That, to me, is a huge red flag. The benefit of having a woman there is the fact that we can connect on such a deep beautiful level. And if she's not available for that, she's not going to be available for that during your birth. If she brushes off your questions as being silly or not valid or nothing to worry about, or if you don't feel comfortable bringing up concerns to her, that would be a red flag. Maybe she's been talking too much about herself, or she spends her prenatal visits talking about her other clients to you. Again, red flag. All right, the last one. And this one might be a little controversial, but for me, a big red flag would be not being a believer. Okay, now listen to my thought here. Birth is inherently a spiritual event. Okay, it's not separated, it's not just physical, it's not just emotional, it is spiritual as well. There is a new soul entering the earth. The presence of the Lord is manifest in such a beautiful way when we invite Him into the space, when we surrender to Him. It is absolutely glorious. But having people there who are not believers, they don't believe the same thing as you, right? It can impact that environment. It can impact the just beautiful, worshipful atmosphere. So it's a super powerful thing to have a team that can go to war on your behalf, be praying for you, while you're in a very vulnerable position, when you are feeling at your weakest, at your lowest. You know that there's people supporting you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And I think of my friend Anna. She came and shared her story on episode 122, so you should go back and listen to it. But when she was struggling the most at the very end, she needed prayer, and we were able to all surround her and pray with her and encourage her and use our spiritual gifts to uplift her in a time that was so hard. She needed a supernatural dose of strength. And because we were all believers there, we just invited the Holy Spirit in such a beautiful way. And I'm telling you, I've been a part of so many births where there's believers all gathered together, and it is an experience that cannot be matched when a new baby comes into this earth surrounded by people who love that child, who love the mother, and who love Jesus. It is beautiful. And again, I want to give you these red flags because I want to give you this framework, right? Or an idea of what it could look like for a midwife to have a red flag. Maybe I want to encourage you that if you are feeling a little off, these could be some reasons why, right? I want to give you the words. I want to give you some ideas on what this could look like so that you'll start naturally asking the right questions and be clued in to either not hiring, ideally, not hiring this midwife to begin with, or firing your midwife when she's got to go. So that leads me into the questions that you can ask. Okay, so here are, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven, the number of completeness. Oh, fun. Okay, so I'm going to give you seven questions. Okay. One, can you share with me your philosophy of birth? I love, love, love this question because she's going to be talking about how she sees birth, how she interprets what's going on at birth, how she interacts with the mother at birth, what she believes inherently birth is. Is it a medical event to her? Is it something that she has to monitor and keep watch of just in case something goes wrong? Or is she just a witness to the beauty of birth and there for support if needed, which rarely is? How is she, what are her thoughts about birth? That's such a powerful question. Number two, what's your favorite thing about attending births? This is going to give you a big insight. Again, if her first thing is, I love catching babies, I'm telling you, friends, she's not the right one. If her favorite thing is being so hands-on and being the one there to catch the babies, honey, I'm telling you, it's all about her. If she's attending births just for the high of getting a birth high, she's not the right one. This day is all about you and your baby meeting for the first time. Not saying that midwives cannot catch your baby. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if her favorite part is to go and get a birth high, is to go and get so hands-on and feel how the baby moves and comes out, I just would be very hesitant about, and I would be asking some more questions, right? I obviously love experiencing the birth high, but my absolute favorite thing about attending births is to see the reaction of mom and baby when they meet. It's to see how the presence of the Lord is so present, how the peace just flows throughout the room, how his goodness is so tangibly felt. When that baby enters the world, the mom looks at the baby and they meet for the first time. It could bring me to tears thinking about all the times I've been able to witness that. And it is absolutely beautiful. So beautiful. I would ask number three, what is your transfer rate? Okay, that's good to know. Now, honestly, I'm not sure what a good transfer rate is. I've heard anywhere between a 1% transfer rate to, you know, a super high transfer rate, like 50%, 60%. Obviously, the lower the better. But I would also be asking, number four, what are some things you've had to transfer for, right? I believe that there's a great balance between transferring out of fear and protocol and limitations that somebody puts on you and not, you know, transferring at all out of fear and limitations. There are midwives who just transfer too late, and that's not okay. But there's also midwives who transfer too early. So it's kind of finding that balance of, why are you transferring? What is this looking like? You're going to have to get all the data and discover for yourself what that means, right? Okay, next one. What would you classify as an emergency? Again, there is such a wide range of normal in birth. And the beautiful thing about a woman who has attended birth for a long time, who respects birth, who trusts the Lord, she is going to be more in tune with the fact that birth sometimes doesn't follow a straight shot line, right? And we have been told to believe that you're supposed to dilate an hour or a centimeter per hour, and there's a natural progression of birth. That's not always true. Sometimes it's pretty straightforward like that. Sometimes it's not. So what some would classify as an emergency may not be classified as an emergency for others. So asking that question, asking what emergencies they've seen, how did they manage them? That's going to give you a good insight of, are they capable? Like, if something happened, are they trained in breech? Are they trained in shoulder dystocia? Are they trained in hemorrhage? What all does that look like? Last one, how do you approach pregnancy complications, right? So if somebody is over testing for like gestational diabetes or, you know, group B strep, all of these things, right? If a pregnancy complication happens, what is that classified as, and how are they approaching it? Those would be good questions to ask. Now, I want to remind you, it's only too late to fire a midwife after the baby is born, okay? I'm seriously talking. If she is not working out during labor, see ya. I know that's a lot harder or a lot easier said than done, but I'm telling you, if there's interference in your birth, it's causing more harm than good to have her there. So my goal with today's episode is that you don't even get to that place, that you can hire somebody that you are so aligned with, that you have such a good relationship with, that your brain says, yep, I am safe when she is in my home. That is what I want for you. I don't want you to get to labor and realize that you made a mistake by having her there, right? Listen to your God-given intuition. Avoid a victim mindset and a lack mindset that says, well, it's too late. I'll just go with whatever I need to go with, and woe is me, or I will never find another midwife. There's not enough midwives out there. I don't have any options. There are an abundance of resources and options when you follow the Lord. Ask Him first, one, who you should hire, and two, if you should hire somebody, and three, if you should fire somebody. Ask Him in all things. He will show you. All right, so I have a freebie for you today. If you're like, I want to know more questions to ask a midwife, well, I have a list of 15 for you to ask your home birth midwife, okay? I'm going to put the link in the description below. And if you need help vetting your midwife, you want to learn more about how to prepare for a peaceful home birth, or have any other questions for me, schedule a free 30-minute birth strategy session. It's just going to be you and me on a private Zoom call. It's absolutely not a sales call. I will just be your coach and help you figure out your next best step. Also, if this episode has been helpful for you, or if you've been listening to the podcast for any amount of time and you have loved it, would you please leave a 5-star review? That helps so much spread the message of peaceful home birth. Help women who've been searching and praying for home birth find that option. That's what this is all about. I want women to know their options, and home birth only adds that. So please leave a review, share with a friend. And as always, thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next time. Peace be with you. I hope you loved today's episode and found it so helpful and encouraging. If you did, would you take 30 seconds to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend who has been praying for a peaceful home birth? Lastly, make sure you get my free download of my complete home birth essentials checklist. Make sure you have everything ready to go so you're able to feel at peace and confidence leading into your home birth. This printable checklist has all of the important but less glamorous or thought of items that I have found to be so incredibly helpful to have at a home birth after working with many clients in person. Now, get it by clicking the link in the show notes. And as always, thanks for listening, and peace be with you.